Hey everybody, welcome back to The Breakdown. We hope that everyone is having a wonderful Christmas season. It's just a great time of year. There's all the Christmas concerts with kids in school. We're having that wonderful viewing of The Making of Christmas here at church in about a day. We're recording on a Thursday this week. So hopefully, if this doesn't come out before then, that you came out. And if you don't, I'm sure there's a way that you can look into viewing that wonderful documentary. What's super cool is the makers of that. They attend our church. And we got to hear from the director's wife on Sunday, that powerful testimony. So just celebrate all of those things that God does in and through our body. Recognize that when we come to church, we're not just receiving from the pastors. We're not just receiving from those who work on staff, but we are receiving from one another. And when you come to church, your coming is just as important as people who are serving on the serve team that day, because the Lord wants to use you. And that's the thing that is so cool. And when we receive Jesus's birth within us, God redeems us, and then he starts to birth new things in us so that we can go out and minister to others. And church is a great place for us to start doing that. I do believe that one of the lies that the enemy does is like he starts to make you come into a posture of consumerism when you come into church, which is, how am I getting fed, or what's in it for me today? When really what the Lord may be saying to you is, I want to give through you today. So it's like it's a both and. We both receive and we get to give. And I'm super excited because today joining us is Laurel Murray. Welcome.
Good morning. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
I'm so glad you came back. For those of you that don't know, we did try to record this last week, but there was an issue with the audio. So for whatever reason, we're back again this mm-hmm. week, and we're going to talk about some of the messages that have come through through our body for the last couple weeks. Pastor Zach brought a powerful message on just knowing the heart of God, knowing what God has for us. Is it time to get out of the boat? Is the ground ready for us? And then Pastor Kurt this past Sunday brought a powerful message on, you know, working out those roots of bitterness within ourselves,
right.
So that the Lord can birth again, so he can birth what he wants to inside of us.
Mm-hmm.
And so Laurel shared part of her testimony 2 weeks ago. And I believe that there's a powerful message in that, because in order for us to walk out the calling that the Lord has in our heart, it starts by first knowing his heart.
Yes.
So Laurel, why don't you just take us into your story? You shared some a couple weeks ago, but why don't you set the stage for us and just tell us, like, how did you come to know the Lord? How did Jesus start to introduce himself to you?
Sure. Yeah. So I came to the Lord later in life. I was 46 years old, and I was not from I had no background in I had like no church background. I wasn't brought up in the church. There was a short time in my life when my mom was sick, when I was in my early 20s, that I was going to the Catholic Church for a while, I wasn't really involved. It didn't really speak to me, and so I didn't really, you know, mm-hmm. I didn't continue from there on. But when I met my husband John, his family is, they're all Christians, but he was not. And his mom had invited us. She kept inviting us to church. And I honestly didn't want to go, not because I didn't believe in God, because that's the one thing I did know was I did believe in God, but I never understood the relationship with God. But I didn't want to go because I just didn't have great church experience. And it honestly, it just was kind of boring for me. And So my husband and I went as like a Mother's Day gift to her. We went to a service at her church, and it was a non-denominational, just a, you know, Christian church. And it was the first time that I'd ever been to a church that I actually felt moved.
Wow.
Yeah. And so we went a few times. I enjoyed the message. I really was touched by worship. That's where the Lord really, like really grabbed a hold of me, was in worship.
Mm.
And for the first time, I literally had tears pouring down my face.
Wow.
And I had no idea what was happening to me. My husband actually had to explain it. that was the Holy Spirit moving in me. And I honestly didn't know anything about the role of the Holy Spirit. Wow. I was really, really green in the area of like the Bible, the church. I had never read the Bible in my life. I only knew a few stories from growing up as a child and having movies, you know, the big Moses parting the Red yep. Sea, those big, big stories, epic stories. But that's really all I knew. So to go to that church and to really feel something, it really grabbed my heart, and the Lord spoke to me, and I did raise my hand one day to receive Jesus. And of course, we all know that that's just the beginning. I had no idea. I had no idea what that was going to look like. I didn't really understand the significance in the moment of what that meant.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was about 10 years ago now.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Man, yeah. You've been on this incredible journey ever since.
Yeah.
What did it look like for you to, because when the Holy Spirit comes into our life, Jesus says that his role is to comfort us mm-hmm. and to guide us into all truth. What did that look like for you? Because it really is something is born inside of you, and the Lord just starts to show you things in a new way.
Yeah, I think the first thing that I recognized that the Lord was doing was he really opened my eyes to truth. And even just like the things that I would watch, you know, they were not good things. And the shows that we thought were so funny and, you know, mm-hmm. so, you know, just great. The Lord was just speaking to us both, thankfully. We both, actually, John and I came to the Lord at the same time.
Wow.
So,
okay. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. So that was an amazing gift. We got baptized together. That was really just a beautiful thing that the Lord did in our lives. And so we can share that together, which was great. But we started recognizing that we just didn't want to do the things that we used to do, you know, that the things that we thought were good were not good anymore. And that was really, I would say, the first thing that I started noticing. And it took me about 5 years before I really had the desire to read the Bible. I just didn't understand the impact of that, the need for that. I just didn't get that. And so that was back in 2020, yeah, during COVID. And so I started reading the Bible, and I was home for a couple of months because we were shut down. Started reading the Bible, and I just literally started listening to everything that was, you know, everything was being posted on the internet then. So I could just listen to all these ministries. And I was just soaking as much in as I possibly could from all different types of ministries. So the Lord really exposed me to a lot. And I listened to some ministries that I felt like were so good for me because they really just spoke to just believe the word. Just believe every word that is in the Bible. Like, don't question it.
Wow.
And so I think that was
a really great start.
Foundational. Yeah. And I mean, just even like healing, like that, like mm-hmm. I believed that the Lord has given us the ability to heal. So I believed that I could do that. I believed that I could cast out demons. I just took that for what it said mm-hmm. And believed I could do everything that the Lord said I could do. Mm-hmm. I had to grow in that area because, of course, without a whole lot of knowledge, being so new, maybe I was a little too, you know, rah, 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 a little too excited. So, the Lord has had to refine me in some areas, a lot of areas, really. But he's really refined me just to understand that just because you can do something doesn't mean you're always supposed to do it in the moment, right? Mm-hmm. Like, there's a time for everything,
and
right?
That's maturity and wisdom. But that comes with time. And, you know, when God births something in us, like, again, like I'm thinking of, you know, like the plants and Pastor Kurt talked about plants.
Yeah.
When they come up, it's a green shoot. It's tender.
Mm-hmm.
And when the Lord births his salvation inside of us and his Holy Spirit,
mm-hmm.
a lot of times when we get those dreams, we get those visions, they're like these tender shoots. But we have to nurture them. And then over time, they toughen into a tougher plant that can withstand the storm. But that takes maturity in time.
Right.
So, and I think Satan would like nothing more than to cause people to fall into shame when they mm-hmm. realize, oh, I've overstepped my gift, or I've overstepped this line, or maybe I was too impulsive right? That's what Satan wants us to do. He wants us to walk in shame.
Yeah.
And then when we do that, then we're not going to step. It mitigates because he knows he can't take the power of the Holy Spirit from you.
That's right.
But he wants to mitigate your ability or your confidence mm-hmm. in exercising the power that the Lord has given you.
Yeah. Yeah. That's very good. Very good. I agree.
So what was that journey of maturity like for you?
So I mean, I'd really had some pretty radical experiences with healing, deliverance. I had a great experience with my neighbor. This is where the Lord really talked to me and showed me what deliverance looked like. Mm. And I'm still, you know, I still seek the Lord on this and ask him what that model, should look like going mm-hmm. forward, because I know there's a lot of different ways that people do deliverance, and so I'm still pressing in on that. But my experience with deliverance was I had a neighbor that I recognized. I could see him across the street tinkering around, and I knew that he was suicidal. Mm. And so I started praying for him, and I asked the Lord for his protection, that he wouldn't be able to harm himself. And I just said, and I just knew, what he needed. I knew he needed Jesus. And I just said, Lord, if you give me the opportunity, I will share Jesus with him. I will give him what he needs. I know, you know, that's what you want. And so I just kept waiting for the Lord to give me that opportunity. And one day I saw him across the street, and I called him over. I was outside in my vegetable garden, and I just called over to him and I said, hey, would you like some vegetables? And he said, yeah. So he came over and we started talking, and I asked him if he was growing anything in his garden, if he had a garden. Yes. He said no. And that's when he shared that he was doing marijuana, mm-hmm. that he was really struggling with depression and anxiety.
Yeah.
And he didn't tell me about the suicidal thoughts, but I could already tell that. But he literally opened up and shared that he needed prescription drugs. He was on all these meds, and he was smoking, and he was, meditating and doing all these things. Mm-hmm. Right. And so I knew that that was my opportunity that the Lord had given me. And so I just finally said to him, I said, look, could I ask you a personal question? And he said, yeah. And I said, do you believe in God? And he said, yes, I do. And I said, okay, so you just shared with me all of these things that you're struggling with and all of these ways that you're trying to cope with the things that you're struggling with. And I said, but have you ever tried giving that to Jesus? Mm. And he looked at me like I had two heads.
Yeah.
And like it was the obvious answer that he just never came to. And he said, no. And I said, would you like to? And he said, yes. So we ended up going inside. I had a conversation with him about what salvation means. I just shared what that means by the biblical way. Mm-hmm. And led him through the prayer of salvation. I had him just confess and repent to the Lord for all the things that he's been doing. And he did. And it was very emotional. He was crying. Yeah. And it was a true, like, it was just beautiful the way that the Lord just moved then. And so I did some deliverance on him. I just, you know, just very simply, just mm-hmm. in the name of Jesus, I mm-hmm. command this and this and this to leave. Mm-hmm. So I told him, look, when you go home, you need to get in the Bible mm-hmm. because the enemy's going to hit you. He's going to mm-hmm. hit you hard because you just got saved today. Mm-hmm. And so he did. But what happened that day was that man walked across the street and he was physically exhausted. He like couldn't even keep his eyes open.
Yeah.
He went to sleep. And when his wife came home and woke him up, he had been completely delivered from suicide, depression, and anxiety.
Amen.
Right then and there. Amen. He threw his meds down the toilet. Mm. He never touched another med. He's never smoked. He literally, the Lord delivered him from everything he Amen. Was doing. He didn't even have to go back to his therapist. Amen. I mean, God just delivered him in such an amazing way. Mm. So I've seen this type of deliverance, and it's, and then I watched, you know, we invited him and his family to start coming to our church, and I watched this whole family get saved.
Wow.
You know, like we were a part of that, and it was just so beautiful. Like that to me is the most impactful thing of my life, is seeing this man and his family, their lives completely transformed by the Lord. So mm. I know what the Lord can do.
Amen.
I've seen it. I've seen the Lord heal. My husband's been miraculously healed many times.
Wow.
I've just seen the power of prayer, and I believe in it so much, and I believe in what Jesus can do.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. And it's so powerful that you're sharing that today because of what happened on Sunday.
Yeah.
You know, Pastor Kurt had that, I guess you could call it like a word of knowledge or like a prompting to deal with an issue that the Lord highlighted to him in the body on Sunday.
Yeah.
And that takes a lot of, you know, courage and wisdom and discernment and,
right.
and which Pastor Kurt has.
Yes.
But we have this tendency and, you know, the Satan again, like his game plan with us is to get us to not trust God and to turn to other things.
That's right.
Pastor Holly shared about, you know, Saul and, you know, when the Lord wasn't speaking to him, he didn't repent. He didn't turn to God in sackcloth and ashes, mm-hmm. but he went to a medium.
That's right.
He wanted to find another way.
Yes.
And Satan does his best to try to get us to go to these other ways.
Yes.
When really the Lord is our source of joy. The Lord is our source of comfort. Amen. But we have to give all of that to him.
Correct. And I have, just to share, I have a background in witchcraft. I was brought up in a home where my mom was reading tarot cards, and I've been to mediums and I've done all of those things. I've played with Ouija boards as a kid. I didn't grow up in a Christian home.
Right.
So we just thought that was normal.
Mm-hmm.
And we had no idea that what we were dealing with was the demonic spiritual realm. We had no idea. And so that's something that the Lord really, I'm so thankful for.
Did you see things happen when you would engage in those things? Or
There was a lot of spiritual things going on in my life. Mm-hmm. I had, there was definitely spirits in my presence that were presenting themselves.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it was very real.
It was very real. Yeah, it definitely showed up. Even in the home that John and I bought 10 years ago, we had an experience there where we could hear spirits like laughing and we could sense the presence there. And we were at the first church we were going to at that time where we got baptized. And we were talking with some friends about what was going on in our home, and they said, "Oh, you need to have the pastor come and bless your home." And we said, "Oh, okay." Like we didn't even know. We were just so unaware.
So new.
Yeah. And so we did. A pastor and one of the elders came to our home and prayed. We prayed in every single room of our home, and whatever was there was gone because of the name of Jesus and the authority that we took over those spirits. Yeah. They were no longer welcome in our home. So
amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
So again, you know, I've seen the Lord move in so many ways. Mm-hmm. But I'm so thankful that I can see it now. And I think because I do have that background, that it actually helps me and enables me to speak to other people that are not saved.
Yeah.
To help them to understand like the things that they're doing, that yes, there's there's power in what you're doing.
Yes.
There's power in what you're believing, but it's not the holy power. It's the evil power,
you know?
And so God has really used me in that way to be able to witness and minister to other people.
Amen. Amen. Well, Paul says, I forget which book it is, but he says, we comfort with the same comfort that we have received.
Amen.
And if you're listening to this and you're feeling discouraged in your story, and maybe all you're feeling is the pain of your story, or even if you've been delivered, like maybe you're remembering what God has brought you from, understand that in that story, in that healing, the Lord is making you into a vessel of healing, that you would go out and spread his truth to others who are in the same bondage that you were in. It's his truth that sets us free. And so in God's healing work in you, he's revealing a truth to you that will sustain you. When the storms of life come, when Satan tries to come back and to haunt you and to persecute you, no, God has given you his truth, and it's with his truth that you wage the war and you surrender the battle to the Lord.
Amen. That's so good, Luke, because that's a word that that resonates so strongly with me. If anything, I am a stickler when it comes to the truth. I just despise lies, and I despise the evil deception. And I mean, I am so black and white when it comes to truth. Like I can't come to any gray area when it comes to that. And because it's so foundational of who we are, who we've been called to be. It's who Jesus is, right? The way, the truth, and the life. And it's kind of interesting. I just thought about that. Truth is sandwiched in between the way and the life. Mm. I don't know what that means, but that just hit me. I'll process that.
Amen.
But truth is so foundational, because without that, you can't walk this journey with the Lord if you're not walking in truth.
Amen.
You know, and I see that's the thing that I think sets people free is because when you're walking, you can be a believer and you're saved, but if you're not walking in God's truth, if you're not living truth, if you're lying, deceiving, you know, cheating, stealing, whatever, the enemy still has a hold over you.
Yeah.
You know, and
right,
that's
because he's the father of lies.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And it's not until you can really be set free when you receive the truth and you start walking in the truth that you're able to admit and acknowledge the things that may be going on in your life that you're struggling with, that you're doing, you know, maybe any sin. And that is really, I mean, Jesus says when you confess your sins, God is faithful and just to forgive your sins.
Yeah.
And so that really is, I think, the core of our deliverance is just walking in that truth to be set free by our confession.
Amen. Amen. So the Lord gave you his truth and he armed you with his truth.
Yes. Yeah.
How did you come to then understand his heart? Because I know from our previous conversations, that was a process.
It was. Yeah. So it really was through yielding. So I would highly recommend the yielding course.
School of the Spirit.
In School of Spirit. Yes, I am plugging that because it really was transformative for me because it actually taught me how to do that. And I mean, it seems so simple, but there's way more to it, but really just yielding to the Lord and surrender. It's all about surrendering to the Lord, coming to the Lord and just getting in that quiet space. So, all right, what was your question again? I already got sidetracked.
How did the Lord reveal his heart to you?
Thank you. Okay, thank you.
He gave you his truth, but
yes.
He's revealing his heart as well.
Okay. Yeah, so when I started yielding to the Lord, what I was recognizing was that I had a lot of head knowledge. I mean, I love the Word of God and I speak the Word of God. I use it for every part of my life. But I felt like there was a disconnect for me between my head and my heart. And it was when I was yielding that the Lord revealed himself to me and he made himself, I shared this in my testimony, in church a couple weeks ago, but it's when the Lord revealed himself, as a loving father. And I didn't understand that. Like, I just couldn't put those pieces together, you know, like I was reading the Word and I know that, like in my head, I knew he was a loving father, but he had to really reveal himself to me on a very personal level. And that was in the way of showing me things, like seeing him there holding me. I mean, I had that beautiful experience where he showed me that he held me. He was the first one to hold me as a baby. And he, just his adoration and his love. And it was through that expression that he showed me that I could see that he was there from the beginning.
Yeah.
He was always there. Even though I wasn't connected to him, he was always connected to me. And I could see that from that he started revealing all the ways that he'd saved me through my entire life. Yeah. I wasn't following him, but he was there to protect me my whole life. Mm-hmm. And when I started to realize that, when I was doing my testimony, that the Lord was revealing so much to me. And he showed me his heart because he showed me all of the things that he had saved me from, that I needed to be saved from. And I didn't realize it.
Wow. You know, even before you knew him.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And it wasn't until, honestly, it's been only the last probably year or so that I've come to understand how unclean I was. You know, like my life was a pretty normal life. I mean, I wasn't doing anything crazy. I didn't have any serious problems in my life. I was never addicted to anything.
Mm-hmm. you would have said, I'm a good person.
Yes, exactly. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm going to heaven. I'm a good person. Right. Without knowing Jesus. And, but he showed me that, that I was unclean, you know, that the things that I had done were the very worldly things. They were not godly things, and that I needed him. I needed him to save me. Mm-hmm. And I think that when you come to that understanding of what God saved you from, even though you may not have had this terrible, terrible past mm-hmm. of, you know, doing terrible, right. terrible things, you were still doing terrible things, right? Right. You just didn't see them as terrible things, mm-hmm. that it was all in the Lord's eyes. It was all evil, right? Without Jesus, it was, you were just never gonna, you were never gonna be with the Father in heaven. And I think that was a huge piece for me as well, just to know what he saved me from.
Yeah. I think that can be very difficult for people to understand until they experience it.
Correct.
And so I want to be sensitive to anyone who's listening, especially, you know, Pastor Kurt on Sunday talked about bitterness.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are struggling with understanding how God can reveal himself to us, even when we didn't know him, even during difficult situations, I just want to gently caution you to explore if maybe there's bitterness that's blocking your ability to receive mm-hmm. that, and to explore that with the Lord.
Yeah.
Because that's what bitterness does. It's to block out our joy. It's to block out our ability to function and thrive and to fully receive the love of the Father.
Yes.
So take that before the Lord. It's not something that we can even prescribe. It's a journey that you have to go on with the Lord. But whatever that looks like for you in your spirit, let go of that bitterness and give it to Jesus. I just feel that really strongly that can get in the way of us receiving and even processing how the Lord can reveal himself in our difficult situations. Could you just press into that just a little bit more? Like when you're in yielding and you're going through a very difficult time, what is the redeeming aspect of Jesus showing himself to you in that situation? How does the memory of those times or those seasons change once the Lord reveals himself to you?
It's really about knowing him. What the Lord showed me was recently he had given me some words, and he said, "I am, therefore you are." And that's all he said. And then I had to start filling in the pieces. And I thought, okay, well, he's saying, like, so if I am God, if I am the healer, then, you know, you are healed. I was thinking it from that. If I am the deliverer, then you are delivered. If I am the redeemer, then you are the redeemed. And he was revealing himself to me that way. But then he started showing me something a little bit differently. It's also having to do with our struggles of who he is in our hearts. So if I can't show grace to others, that maybe it's because I don't know God as gracious. If I can't show love, maybe it's because I don't know the love of Christ. If I'm judgmental and critical, maybe it's because I think he is a God of judgment. If I'm struggling with disappointment, maybe it's because I feel disappointed by him. And so I think that when we truly know the Father of grace and mercy and love and compassion, that when we know him, that we are able to express his love to other people. So it really is by that knowing him. And I think what happens is what the Lord was showing me is that I had a lot of wrong perceptions of who God was. When I didn't know the love of God, I didn't see him that way. I thought he was judgmental. I thought he was, there was this part of me that just felt like I didn't necessarily know how to receive his grace because I couldn't understand. I knew what the word grace meant, but I couldn't comprehend that.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, so what does that look like? Mm-hmm. What does that look like for me? What does grace look like from God to me and then from me to show others? Yeah. So I think that's when we're struggling with things is we have to really look at the things that we're struggling with and say, okay, well, do I really know the Lord in this way?
Mm.
You know, if I think he's this, then yeah, I might be struggling in this area because I don't see God that way. And I think that's where we really have to get to the deep level of knowing the Father and the heart of the Father so that we can, you know, it helps us in our lives.
Yeah.
You know?
Amen. Amen. Yeah. And that's the thing. It's a process and it's a day by day, a renewing of our mind.
Yes.
And understand that the Lord is the one who he wants this process and he's guiding it. And so it's us surrendering. You know, one of our values here at church is surrender. We have to surrender to the Lord and then allow him to do the work that he is doing in our life. And he meets you in such unique ways. And what I'll encourage anyone listening right now is, like, do not compare your story to someone else's story. The Lord has his own love story that he's writing with you. If you are listening to someone else's story, what helps me process is understanding, like, wow, that's what the Lord's doing in their life. Mm-hmm. And just as he is moving in their life, I know he's moving in mine.
That's right.
But he's doing it in such a special and a unique way for me, in a way that draws me closer to him and minimizes my comparison of myself with others.
That's so good, Luke. I'm glad that you brought up that point of comparison, because the thing is we're all on our own journey and we all come from different places. And so I think that when we look at someone else and, oh God, look what the Lord is doing in this person's life. And I think that the way that we overcome that temptation of becoming jealous or insecure,
yes,
is when we just recognize that God is doing something in that person's life right now, because they've been on this journey with him and that's where he's got them right now. And it's their time, it's their season. And your time and your season is coming, but he has to work things out in you first. I've been through that. I have seen that so clearly in my journey with the Lord that there's so much. I mean, I had 46 years of worldly thinking, yes. You know, that's a long time. Mm-hmm. And the Lord really had to reshape my thought life and, you know, negative thinking, that comparison and insecurity. And now what I can recognize is I can look at other people now and be so grateful and thankful and appreciative of what the Lord is doing in them,
Amen.
For them,
Amen.
Through them, because it's for God's glory. And I think that when you come to that understanding, that it takes away all of that, you know, that like jealousy or insecurity, because you recognize that, you know what, my time is coming too. And that's where you have to trust the Lord in the process, that He's trying to work things out in
Amen.
You,
Amen.
And his purpose for you may be completely different.
Mm-hmm.
So you just have to trust in what he has for you and know that he's got a calling on your life and he'll reveal that to you in the
Amen.
Right time.
Amen. You know, go read Romans 8. Romans 8 is so, so vital. Yeah, at the end of the chapter, like where Paul tells us, like, what's going to separate us from the love of Christ?
Mm.
Nothing will separate us from his love.
Yes.
And he who did not spare his own son, will he not with him give us all things? Everything else is a bonus. And I think it's so important and it's such a key part of the knowing God process and even working through bitterness and all of the lies in our life. It comes from, we have to first value our salvation. And what you shared moments ago was so important. You're like, I didn't realize how wicked I was or how evil I was.
Right.
Like you didn't understand how far sin went in your life.
Yeah.
And maybe that's where we have to start. It's, Lord, show me what you truly saved me from.
Yes.
So that I will value and I will have the joy of salvation, because I will truly value the gift that you've given me by giving Jesus's blood and applying his blood to my heart.
Yes. Right. I feel like sometimes it's really hard because we think of these things as concepts, you know, because when you don't really have the revelation, And it's when the Lord gives you the revelation that it becomes more than just a thought or a concept. It gets rooted. It gets more deeply rooted, and it gets rooted in your heart. And that's really what needs to change in us, is our heart posture. Amen. Yeah. Amen. So that's so good.
So before we close, is there any encouragement that you would give to us that the Lord has recently shown you in your life that might minister to us or encourage us to go out and live the life that He's called us to live?
Yeah, I would just encourage people to just to really draw close to the Lord, because if you're questioning what your calling is or your purpose, just really get in that quiet space and ask the questions. Ask the questions, because the Lord says, when you ask, right, you shall find. Ask and it will be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened. And that's so key, really. We have to ask. And He says, you know, you don't have because you don't ask. So just if there's things that you're not understanding, really start asking, get close to the Lord and start asking those questions of Him, because it's in the asking is that He's going to reveal things. He's just waiting. He's waiting for us just to draw near and get close and ask those things so that He can show us. So that would be my encouragement, is just draw near Him and seek the things that you're unsure of. And, you know, God, He wants to heal those places in all of us, and He wants to give us exactly what He has for us. But sometimes we forget to ask.
Amen. Well, thank you so much for joining us and sharing what the Lord's done in your life and what He's still doing.
Thank you.
It's a true gift to us and our family. Would you just close us in prayer, please?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, Lord, we just thank You for who You are. We thank You, Lord, that You had sent Your Son into the world to become flesh so that He could know us. He could know what it's like to be in the flesh and to experience all the things that we experience as human beings. So Lord, we just thank You for this season. We thank You that we get to celebrate You and just to reflect upon You coming to the earth, God in flesh, God incarnate, and that we can relate to You, Lord, as a human, but also as our Father, our God, our Savior. So thank You, Jesus, for everything that You've done for us. Thank You for Your blood. And thank You, Lord, for just always being with us and never leaving us. We love You, Lord, so dearly. And we thank You for this opportunity that we have just to share the truth of who You are and what You've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, family, thank you for listening. Go out and let's have a merry Christmas season. We'll see you on Sunday. Can't count on